Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lean Keys back with another episode. This is number 11. If you really want to thought it might be out of season two, but we haven't figured that season thing out just yet. I got my man Lee here. We better break down a couple topics today. Lee, say what's up to the people, man.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee out here in Denver. Want to wish everybody happy holidays and safe holidays. What's going on, my man Keys?
Yeah, yeah, we got a what's it called? We got today I want to talk about a music video that I've that really sparked my interest the past couple times I watched it. Well, especially the first time, but I've watched it. I mean, it sparked my interest at that level. I've watched it a gang of times since that first time. It really just the thing really I feel like it sparked a dialogue that I feel like is really necessary to have, especially where we at, you know, in this country right now, being that we both live in the United States, being, you know, in the state of this country right now. I feel like it's a very important conversation. And I think that the artist, you know, really, he did a good job at, you know, shedding light on a lot of the, you know, some stereotypical things, you know, some truths in there that, you know, maybe it's a highly offensive thing. You know, the video I'm talking about is he's a Massachusetts artist. You know, you guys know I'm from Massachusetts. I'm from Boston. I'm not sure what part of Massachusetts dude is from. His name is Joyner Lucas. I think that's how you say his name. Yeah, the boy Joyner Lucas. He's pretty nice. I mean, it seems to be like that's his thing. He does a lot of concept videos that are about, you know, it kind of touches on a certain point in society. I've seen another video he did that was kind of like a spin on, you know, suicide, depression and things like that, you know, of that nature, which is good. You know, a lot of important topics that, you know, should, you know, they might be sensitive topics, but, you know, deserve to get more light shed on them and to get people discussing it because they're serious issues. You know, he had another one that I saw, and Lee, you should actually check out this video. He did one called, I think it's called the Life of a $100 Bill. I think that's what it's called, and it's the whole video, like, you have the voice, so you hear the boy rapping, but he's basically narrating the story, and it shows like a $100 bill getting passed on, and it goes through, you know, life, basically. It passes off from, like, hand to hand of very different people. And the whole thing just walks you through, like, an ongoing story, which is told by the narrator. And it's pretty crazy. Like, if you look it up, I think you'd like it. Like, you know, the boy, he kind of cool sound compared to, you know, what you like. Maybe you don't like, you know, the way he's spitting it. But I feel like his storytelling, you know, is on point. And I like the approach that he takes to these music videos. So the one that I'm particularly talking about is called I'm Not Racist. And the video, I don't want to – I know I thought about this before the show, and I was like, okay, like, I'm not going to break down, you know, how it starts out and you know, certain things that were said. I mean, I'm going to touch upon concepts because, I mean, there's a very highly, very frequently used – term in the video that I don't particularly use, and so I can't give, you know, a lyrical breakdown of the video per se, but it starts off with a dude, and it's a white male, and he seems a bit older, and he's sitting at a table with a young black male who's, I mean, they look like they're probably at least 15 years of age apart from each other. This dude, it looks like an adult male talking to like a younger kid. Lee, would you agree that that kid looked pretty young in that video?
Yeah. When you watching the video, the older white guy with the beard, he looks like he's about maybe 28, maybe 29, maybe even 30 at the most. And then the young black kid looks like he's maybe in his teenage years or early 20s. Actually, yeah, he was like a teenager to me, but, you know, of course, I'm a little bit older than you. But the concept of the video was a great eye opener, because when you are sitting there watching the video, you have to remove yourself from your current situation and put yourself in the situation of the video, which makes the song that much more powerful. Because when I first watched it, I didn't know what to expect. Like I told you when you told me to look at it, my homeboy had hit me up earlier that day. He was like, yo, y'all need to check out this dude, Jonah Lucas. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then you hit me up like, yo, Lee, you got to check out this song, Not a Racist, by Jonah Lucas. Then I said, man, my homeboy just told me about this dude. So then when I got in the car, I was leaving work, I put the video on, I sat in the car and I watched the video. I was like, man, this is powerful, bro. This has to be one of the songs that make you look at yourself, whether you black or white, and you look at yourself and be like, yo, a lot of this is actually spot on, you know what I'm saying? Even though it felt kind of weird seeing a white guy rapping and using the N-word, but at the same time, I know when you watch the video, you'll know what he's trying to accomplish, what he's saying, and using the white guy to say it. But yeah, it was it's eye opening, bro.
Yeah, I definitely thought that the white dude in the video, I think that, and I actually watched rapgenius.com, you know what I'm talking about? They interpret all the lyrics and everything. I watched one of those like lyrical breakdown videos of that song with Jonah Lucas, and he like explained the where he was coming from with a lot of the lyrics, and you know he recognized the fact that that people were saying like, oh, how come you like it seemed like how come you put more into the white guy, and it seemed like that he was like, oh, you made it seem like the white, no, the young black male, that he didn't, it seemed like he didn't have as much to say or something, you know? And then he said, you know, well, if you look at it, it's like, you know, the other guy wearing the Make America Great Again hat, that dude was, that's why I had such an older guy. So it's meant to be like, okay, like, you know, here's this younger kid, and he might not have as much knowledge, you know, to break down all the issues. And then you have this older guy who, like,
actually, that,
you know,
makes sense.
It's an adult versus a teenager, that conversation, and that is probably, you know, I feel like that's probably more accurate to how it would go, because you have, you know, and then at the same time, it's like, a lot of the things he was saying, he was like, you know, a lot of people weren't happy with the fact that, you know, this white guy comes on screen and, like, you know, it's just highly offensive from the opening of the song, just right off the bat, just offends you right away. And he was like, a lot of people didn't really like that, you know, and people that hadn't heard my voice before thought that I was that guy, and then not knowing who I am, thinking like, oh, how's he going to just open the thing and just start talking crazy like this? And he's like, but that was what it was supposed to do. Like, I wanted to open it that way. And then, you know, you see how this guy, you know, escalates as the video and the song goes on, and it gets more and more offensive, and he gets more and more racist. That's the point, is that he
and
mentioned
that's the purpose
the
of the
term.
Song.
Yeah, yeah. And the,
because the thing
I feel
is,
like,
is when – yeah, go ahead.
No, it's good. It's cool.
All right.
Well, he
because
was saying
it looks like
that.
Me and you.
Shit.
It's just like me and you. I'm 46. You're 21. So there's a lot more things I've seen in life than you have seen. So of course I'm gonna have more to say on a specific topic than you, because I have experience more than you. So it was. That was smart on his part, because when he used the older white guy, and then when I think about it, maybe the older white guy was in his 30s instead of his 20s. Maybe he was about 30 to 35, because for all the stuff he was saying, if you really go back. Yeah, maybe he's about between he's in his 30s for sure, because he was talking about the welfare system and all that, and you know, so yeah, I think that was a good play for him, because now that I think about it, I didn't look at it that way, but now that you brought it up, it makes sense, because the young guy in the video, like I said, he looked like a teenager, maybe early 20s. So, really, what has he really experienced in life? So, of course, the first guy going to have more to say. But, yeah, go ahead, man. I ain't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all good. In one of the words, when I was a bit more about the lyrical breakdown video, is that when I was watching it, one of the things Jonah Lucas said that I was that I really liked that he brought up, like, because this dude's a smart dude. Like, when you listen to him, when I watch you listen to him talk, I'm like, wow, like, this guy really – like this is a well calculated, you know, these lyrics and the music video, like, is very, very calculated. You could tell that he really, like, you know, sat and thought about this for a long time, and he knew, you know, he projected the reactions and how people would view each part, you know, based on how he wrote it. Because he kept saying, like, you know, when I knew that would happen when I wrote this, and then when I wrote this part, I knew that this would sound this way, and then I'd look this way, and you know. And he mentioned a term, closet racism, and that I really liked that he said, because, you know, and that was depicted through, you know, the older guy, as the video went on, he said that he meant to make it so it was getting more and more offensive, and the guy was becoming more and more racist as the video was going on. And in the beginning, you know, he was saying, you know, I'm not racist. Like, he'll go through a segment of it, go through a portion of what he's saying, but then he'll say, but I'm not racist. And then he'll say another thing, but I'm not racist. And then you have the part that said, so then the dude said, then the older dude says, this is the part that I like that that he included, was that he said, oh, I'm not racist. Like, you know, my girlfriend's, no, my daughter's boyfriend's something is black. Like, this person's black, you know, like people that are
my sister's husband is black.
Yeah, yeah, like all like shit that kind of was like irrelevant, like it doesn't really make sense. And I like that he included that, is because I hear that a lot, like, to be honest with you, keep it 100, I hear that a lot. And people come with that approach, and that's the shit, and that really doesn't make sense to me, because it's not, you know, what you're saying, that is like that's surface level. Like, okay, so we're all people. You know what I mean? Okay, you're saying that. Because you have you know, black individuals, you know, relative to your family, or, you know, date somebody in your family, or you're related to somebody in your, that means that you're not a racist. Like, it that doesn't really prove anything. That's very surface level conversation right there. You're telling me the very basics of, you know, what is in your reality. That doesn't really, you know, do you any justice. But people do, you know, come out with that argument a lot of the time to make it sound like, you know, to make them sound better. And I just never understood that thing. So when he brought that out, I really liked that, because it's, like I said, the video had some stereotypical stuff, you know, which was also offensive. It had some truths about each person. There was some truths in there. And then there was some, you know, stuff that you would deem false, and that is, you know, falsely depicted. And, you know, which relates to the stereotypical thing. It's like, okay, this is only shown this way by the opposite person. You know, but he had them talk that way, you know what I mean? So you could get, you know, sense the connection of it. And then maybe people could draw, you know, draw points and say, okay, like, put the image in your mind and really, like, make the connections between the two people.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of the whole – well, the whole song, or the whole video, I mean, the song and the video actually go together. But it was funny how when the young black man started rapping, how he was, you know, the older white guy, he was, you could tell that he was upset. But the young black man, it was like he was knocking my man hat off, flipping over tables. Because that's one of the things, that's one of the stereotypes that people think about black people, is that when we get angry, we get violent. So I like how he used that in the video, because the white guy, when he was rapping, well, when he was saying his lines, "I'm not a racist, my sister's boyfriend is black. I'm not a racist, my sister-in-law's baby cousin Tracy got a brother and his girlfriend's black." I was like, that's funny because people really use that. They do say that. But that's because, you know, black people don't mean that you're not racist. But it was funny how he did that, because people actually believe that if somebody that they and their family is dating a black person, then they're not a racist because they accepted that person. Just because your sister accepted that person mean you accepted that person. But getting back to the video, the young black man, he was so angry when he was rapping. It was like, I like how Lucas did, how Jonah did that, because that's one of the stereotypes that people think about black people, is that when we get angry, first thing we want to do is fight. Where some of us, when we get angry, we take a step back, take a deep breath, we'll talk it out or whatever, whatever. But some of the stereotypes that he used in the song, I mean, some people look at him as stereotypes, some people look at him as being true. I mean, like my man said, but there's two sides to every story. I wish that I knew yours. Then he said, "I wish that I knew yours again. I'm not a racist, I swear." So it's kind of cool the way that he would say something offensive and just say, "I'm not a racist." But I did the same thing you did. I went and looked at this on genius.com, and I saw the input that Jorna gave to the song. And me and you talked about this on a previous show about the Kaepernick thing. Sometimes a protest or a song or a newspaper article or a news segment, anything, sometimes it's meant to make you uncomfortable. And if it makes you uncomfortable, it kind of make people talk about it. And that was one of the things that Kaepernick did. When Kaepernick kneeled for the anthem, and then he told everybody why he knelt for the anthem, it became a point of conversation. It's either people either agreed with him or people didn't agree with him. People didn't know what was happening. People knew what was happening. But this song does the same thing. Because me as a black man, when I was listening to the white guy rap as a black man, I was like, wow. Yeah, you know, we do some of the stuff. A lot of the stuff is true. It's like using the N-word. It's like when white people say it, we feel we white people never use the N-word in a positive light, whereas we call each other that and we say it's a term of endearment. But in all actuality, we shouldn't use it at all, because it's one of the most negative words in American history. Just because we say it with an A at the end instead of the ER, it's still the same word, and it still means the same thing. So, you know, that was one of the things that, like, that opened my eyes when he was rapping, and then when he was screaming that Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I was like, wow, this dude went all in. And then one of the things I took to heart because of where I'm from is the verse where he says, "Food stamps for your children, but you're still trying to sell them for some weed and some liquor or a baby or a fucking babysitter." It's like, I'm going to keep it 100 because that's what we do on our show. I just went home in October and go to the food line. There's a young lady standing outside the store, and she was like, "Do you want to buy some food stamps?" And I'm looking at her, and I was like, "No, I'm good." And she was like, "Well, if you know anybody that needs some, tell them come up here." And I'm just looking at her, and I'm like, wow. But at the same time, that's everyday life from where I'm from. We see people sell food stamps all the time. So, but for him to say that, I was like, man, he actually hit home with that one.
Yeah, there was the whole time I was trying to, I'm looking at the lyrics breakdown right now on Genius 2. so I could remember some of the points that I, you know, I really thought. And one of the ones that did was, first of all, was the fact that the kid said, he said yelling "All Lives Matter" is a protest. He said "All Lives Matter" is a protest to my protest. What kind of shit is that? I was so glad that he put that in there because people don't. This is the thing: is that like, and being a white kid, like, you know, I can attest to this. Like, people, I think that's the right word, attest this. White people don't realize, okay, like that. You know, when you come out, so somebody's trying to, you got to look at you got to look at who's prioritized, like, in these situations. Like, people don't realize one of the things is, and the thing I go to school for is communications, and we study media, and like one of the things that like I noticed like through my studies is that, you know, and just paying attention to the media in general, this is a fact, is that the media likes to portray, you know, black people versus white people in very different ways. Very different ways. And white people don't like to see that. So when you turn around and you want to feel good about something, and then someone's like, "Oh, nah, like, you know, forget the Black Lives Matter thing. Like, all lives matter. Everybody, you know, everybody should care for everybody. Like, everybody look out for everybody." Okay. But really put it into perspective for a second and think about what you're saying. Look at the way that things are now. Who's looking out for everybody? And who's coming up with this shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, people, the reason why the Black Lives Matter, that is because, you know, there's already a discrepancy between, you know, who's being prioritized here. And you don't need the, okay, white people, if you want to include yourself, look at the fucking news. Like, look at how, you know, the media shoves all these, you know, different perspectives and different images. They like to log into your mind so you think a certain way. And I think the media is so guilty of that. They don't even, you know, I think they do realize, but, you know, people that are higher up in the government would never admit to that. Look at the way you program people's minds, and then look at how, you know, that triggers everybody. And then next thing you know, the kid is right. That is a pro. That in if you are standing for the All Lives Matter thing, you are basically against the Black Lives Matter thing. And so that's why I understand when, you know, I see people on Twitter, and it was more prominent, you know, months back, maybe even sometime last year, like when there was a lot of, you know, riots breaking down, and they had, you know, out in Ferguson, all the, you know, a lot of things were going on, and just there was a lot of, you know, animosity. There was a lot of tension in the world, and at that time, you just, people needed to look at who's being killed, you know, on the news. Like, you know, look at the police brutality, look at the way that, you know, people are treated, you know, besides yourself. And it's selfish. The All Lives Matter thing is selfish. People don't understand. Like, you're taking light away from, you know, a bigger cause. Like, you are not the one that needs to be prioritized. So the fact that the kid said about that is a protest to my protest, what kind of shit is that? Good fucking, yeah. You know, good thing. I don't even like swearing the show, but good thing that he put that in there, because that's a fact. And white people don't realize that. And then being a white person, I hear this shit all the time. I read it on Twitter all the time. I see how they respond, and they don't think about, you know, they don't think about, look at the different groups of people. Look how people are represented, you know, on TV, everywhere. Look at how the police are treating people. Look how they treat you. You know what I mean? Like, just in everyday life, you know, maybe you don't see it, you know, firsthand in your city, but it goes on, and it's, people aren't just, you know, going crazy over nothing. Like, it's, there's real issues at hand. People like to be ignorant to that. So I'm so glad that Joyner wrote that lyric and had the kid say that. That was I'm glad it was, you know, one of the first things that he came out with too, because people need to hear that shit. And then another thing that I thought it was there was the other line that the white man said. He said, "I heard Eminem's rap at the awards. Who's he fighting for? Y'all can take that motherfucker too. He ain't white no more." That's what he said. And I can attest to that as well, because also being a white kid, I see it a lot on Twitter. I saw a lot of feedback from, you know, the hip-hop community and people I know that listen to rap music that might be my age or a bit older, even at my school. And, you know, people just talking about the cypher. A lot of people talk about hip-hop and, you know, what comes out and new releases and shit. Of course, it's Eminem's. People will be listening to it. And I saw a lot of backlash when that thing dropped. I mean, I listened to it, and I was like, okay, like, I can't – I mean, this isn't – okay, so for me, I think I said this on one of our earlier shows. I might have said it. Maybe I didn't. But the thing is that, you know, when I heard that, I was like, okay, like, I like to listen to hip-hop and rap music, and I like to listen to music in general because music – to me, like, everyone has different reasons, you know, that they love music. My thing about music, that's an escape. For me, that's an escape from all the bullshit in life and all the things that go on. And that's a big thing in hip-hop, too. You hear, you know, people trying to get through a struggle, and you want to help other people get through it. But they also want to get that release in their mind. They want to get past it. So you want to hear somebody else going through it, and you want to get past it. You want to get move forward with it. And you know, in the early days, like, hip-hop, you know, they wanted to uplift people. Like, you wanted to make people feel good. And, you know, when I listen to that Eminem's verse in the cypher, I'm like, okay, like, you know, when I think of BET cyphers, you know, from what I've seen, I just think about dudes rapping. Like, I'm not really looking to hear, like, things about politics or, you know, real life situations. I'm kind of just trying to hear somebody throwing bars and stuff like that. So I heard it and I'm like, okay, like, I'm not really as hype about this Eminem verse, but at the same time, like, this verse matters to a lot of other people. This is important, and it's not written for me. Like, this is not written for me. He didn't do this for me. So I don't need to, it really doesn't matter what I think about it, because he wasn't trying to just do, you know, write a regular verse and throw some bars. It wasn't a hip hop thing. This is a move in a certain direction, and I'm not. It's not. You know, it has no regard to me. You know, he's talking to a, you know, different crowd of people, and he's talking for somebody else. So it's not written for me. It doesn't need. You know, I don't need to be feeling it in that way. Like, it's and you know, and a lot of people. Aside from that, the fact that he said, like, you know, who is he fighting for? He ain't white no more. That whole rhyme scheme is like. A lot of people were reacting like that, too. They were mad at the fact that, oh, like, how dare he, you know, Eminem talk about, you know, Trump, or how dare he, you know, go against us like that, you know, stuff like that. And that just blows my mind, because then if you're sounding like that, dude, you got to really reassess everything and really think about it more, because something is off to me. And one more thing, I'm going to let you go with this question, because this is what I was saving to ask you, Lee, because one of our other shows, you told us that your favorite rapper or favorite MC, whatever, artist of all time is Tupac, right?
That's correct.
And so I don't know if you remember, but he had a line in here. I'm going to let you go off from this topic. He says, I'm not a racist and I never lied, but I think there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. I worshiped Einstein, studied with Steve Jobs, but you ride Tupac's dick like he was a fucking god. Oh, my God. That part I wanted to leave you with, because Tupac's a man. So I'm going to let you go with that. What do you thought about that?
Actually, this was a powerful line, too, because it's kind of crazy how we revere people that we love. And a lot of us love Tupac, man, for, you know, the man went through a lot. He went through a lot of struggle, man, you know, trying to do the right thing, trying to be a good person. And then, you know, he wanted to be successful, and in the midst of trying to be successful, got caught up with the wrong people or whatever. But when Tupac died, it was like a lot of us, we could see that he wanted a change, that he was trying to go through a change within himself. Instead of being that angry black guy that was mad at the world, he was trying to find solutions as to hey, let's make ourselves, we as black people, better first, you know. And it's funny, man, that he threw that in there, because then when you come down to when the black guy is rapping, he was like, yes, I praise Tupac like he was a fucking god. He was fighting for his life way before he fucking died. N-word. And it was like Tupac already knew. You could tell in his words that he would write about that he was going to die. You know, he started writing about one on gone, more me two on gone, and if I die tonight and things like that. But as hip-hop, as a hip-hop fan and a hip-hop culture, we revere our favorite rappers. I mean, you got people that love Biggie. You got people that love Tupac. You got people that love Jam Master Jay, people that love Eazy-E. So people that we love, yes, we do revere them. And we try not to see the bad in them, but we definitely overemphasize the good that we saw in them. So that was an interesting take when the guy said that. And the first part about, you know, we ride his dick, and then it come down, then the young black guy say he was a god. So, you know, that was kind of smooth the way he did that. But I think another thing that I liked about his rap was he says, man, where is it at? He says, this is the black guy. With a black guy rap song, where is it at, man? I can't find it right now. It was to the effect of he was talking about white privilege. Oh, he said, all you care about is money and power and being ugly, and that's the cracker within you. Hatred all in your brain and slowly start to convince you, and then you teach it to your children till the cycle continue. So he was talking about how, to me, he's talking about white privilege. It's a lot of people that feel that because their family or their skin color or their situation entitles them to certain things. Whereas in today's age, that doesn't mean nothing. People look at you for your own merit, not what your family did or what your great-grandfather did. People look at you for what you're doing. And then when he said the hatred all in your brain, then you teach it to your children, a lot of people feel that's how racism continues to grow. Because if you do things in front of your kids or say things in front of your kids, guess what? They're going to do things and say things, and then they're going to pass it on to their children because that's what they know. So, you know, that was a strong line that he said. And, man, this song, man, and I think one of the hidden gems in this line, you will probably agree with me, when the young black kid is rapping as the white guy, he says, I'm not a racist, I never lied, but I know there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. And there is a big disconnect right now in our country between people of color, Caucasians, Mexicans, you know, Asians, immigrants. It's right now is a very testy time in our country because a lot of people were kind of covert with their racism, but now that the president in a way kind of feel that people can do or say what they want, now there's a lot of people that's overt in their racism, and they feel like they can say or do anything they want to do with no repercussion. That's not true. You can't tell somebody how to feel. If I feel offended, and to a certain extent, if I feel offended and I feel disrespected enough, I might come at you, you know? And that's not a way to solve a problem, but a lot of people just feel like they can say or do what they want right now in this country, and that's not helping the healing process. We as people, we need to be able to get to know each other on a deeper level outside our skin color. And it's like me and you, we are true examples of that. I have never met you a day in my life. I have never shook your hand a day in my life. But I can talk to you. We can debate. We can be cordial. We created this show. And this two guys that ain't never seen eye to eye. We ain't never met each other in person. But we got a common goal that, you know, we found something that we both like to do that was to debate about UFC. And then we took what we debate about on UFC on Twitter and we turned it into our podcast. And social media can be used for good things. And this is a good thing that me and you have took for social media, is making our podcast, getting to talk to people, speak on issues, speak on MMA, speak on music. And you're a young white guy, I'm an old black guy. But guess what? I can respect your opinion, you can respect mine, and I don't judge you for your opinion because that's your opinion. I can't tell you what to think. I can't tell you how to feel. All I can say is, well, Keith, I disagree with you, bro. So what else you got to think about? You know, what else you talking about? What else on your mind? And we just keep it moving. And that's the way people got to be, man. You can't be so thin-skinned. You know, everybody ain't going to agree. Everybody ain't going to get along. But don't let those things create a negative environment in your life or, you know, in your day-to-day. Keep it moving. We all ain't going to get along. There's some black people on the like, hell. I could tell you, man,
yeah, because you know,
some of them I see at work, I'd be like, man, god damn, this motherfucker again, for real. So, but you know, man, it is what it is, man, and, you know, just got to make the best of the situation. And I, one thing I do believe in is always try to look at the good in a person before the bad. So don't judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, the thing is that, you know, I can look forward to, I can like skip forward to the last two or three lines from each of the guys talking in the video. You know, the white guy finishes with, you know, he goes all this, you know, offensive stuff, and he's going in about his thing, and it's all crazy, right? And the kid's looking mad, you know, he's looking, you know, really mad sitting there, like, just hearing it. And the one thing that I liked was that, you know, he made, you know, each of them, like, in the video, like, there was nothing else. Like, these guys, like, with the way you're arguing, y'all could have had a rap battle. Y'all could have been battling. Y'all could have done something crazy. Like, you might as well, like, in today's age, they would have been yelling in each other's face and nothing would have got accomplished. Like, no one would have, there would have been no real dialogue. And that's the thing. You know, instead, he had the young kid sit there and, you know, he's kind of just, he has a mug on his face. Like, you could tell he's, you know, he's frustrated and he don't like what he's hearing. But, you know, he's kind of just like shaking his head and just like, you know, going through the motions and just hearing this dude out, right, while he's going off. And then you see the same thing with the older dude. The white dude sits down and he, you know, he doesn't look too happy with what the kid's saying. And, you know, the kids, you know, like you said, they depicted him to be a bit more angry, and he's kind of, you know, he smacks his hat off his head and this and that. I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, that was another symbol. I mean, that hat is, you know, a symbol today too. And I don't think, I mean, I don't blame him for, you know, having the kid do that in the video anyways. But the point is that the white dude, like, you just see him take it, you know, and they're both hearing each other out. And that's the thing, is that, like, people being able to talk about shit. And that's what I liked about this video. That's why I told you to watch it when I, you know, I said we got to get this on the show, because this thing is so powerful. Like, look at the dialogue that it creates. And I just, you know, that's the thing. That's what everybody, I just feel like that's what everybody needs, is they need to be able to, you know, talk about the issues and, you know, be able to push through those uncomfortable topics. And that's why, like, another reason why I wanted to get this topic on here, because, you know, that's another way to show people, like, you can talk through something. Like, you can either have similar points about it or have very different points about it, but you can still talk about it. Like, and you can be frustrated without, you know, taking the immature route and just walking off and being like, you know what, man, like, forget you, like, you know, fuck you, like, I'm just gonna walk off, like, we don't need you and everything.
That doesn't you know, push anything forward. That just, you know, keeps things at a standstill. You're not you know, changing anything, and that just shows that the next time you meet with that person and talk with them, you're gonna have the same encounter. Like, you're never gonna come to that common ground on that issue, and the issue is gonna keep happening. You both frustrate each other. You're both still gonna keep coming at each other that way. Like, when you can hear somebody out and understand like how they feel and let them get that emotion out, you can come to a respect for that person. And that's what people don't allow themselves to do, you know, in today's world. And that's why, you know, it's like a fucking war zone out there, like in this country. It's like a war zone. Like, people don't even want to, they just want to put the wall up and not deal with people that they don't like. And it ain't even just about, you know, black or white. It's about anything. Like, people they just don't like in general, they just don't want to deal with or be around them. And it's like, you got to face it. And if you want to make it better, you got to break down the issues and just respect what they don't like about you or whatever it is. Like, and that's what I loved about this video, is that it created that dialogue. And the, one of the last lines that the white man says to the kid is, he says, but he goes off and all the shit, and then he goes, I'm not racist, but there's two sides to every story. I wish that I knew yours. I wish that I knew yours. And then he says, I'm not racist, I swear. Like, and then in the end of the young kid's, young black kid's verse, he says, it's like we living in the same building but split into both sides. I'm not racist, but there's two sides to every story, and now you know mine. And I'm glad that, like, you know, Jonah Lucas, he had them both end off with that, because, you know, that furthers, you know, what I was kind of just saying was, like, you know, these guys, like, they let themselves go off, and, like, they let themselves, like, he wrote it, so, like, okay, let me write one guy on one side, he's going to lose his temper, and then have this guy on the opposing side, he's going to lose his temper. But then at the end of it, like, let me dedicate the last two lines to both these guys saying, but now you know my story. Like, now you feel me. Now, you might not even feel me. Now you can at least see where I'm coming from a little bit. You know, now you can get my background, and you can see my emotion and understand, like, you know, how things make me feel. You know, you might not feel me all the way ever, but because you're going to have your own thoughts regardless, but we can at least, you know, you let ourselves be frustrated and you know, see eye to eye, like, just have a conversation about it and, you know, hear each other out. And I'm glad that he had them both end off with those couple lines, because that's really how, you know, a conversation should be. It should have that respect, and you guys should let yourselves be mad. You know, not every like bad conversation has to be an argument. You know, like, you can, like, have, you know, better communication skills than to allow things to turn into an argument. Like, in this video, of course, it's like a music video. It's supposed to look calm, so it's not going to turn into an argument. But like I said before, is that in this day and age, that conversation would have became an argument, and that would have been those two guys likely yelling in each other's face. Like, if I really had to picture that happening, you know, out in the street in front of my, where I live right now, I would imagine those two guys yelling in each other's face. So I would picture it, and they'd probably both tell each other off and they'd walk away. That's at least, you know, I'm not saying that that's, I see things like that, you know, in my area, I don't, but if these two people, if I would have seen them and that would have, they would have had that conversation, I would have pictured, they probably wouldn't even got halfway through it. Because people don't like to hear each other out about things like that. Once they get uncomfortable, once they're offended, once they're hurt, instead of talking through the reasons why and trying to make that person understand a little bit more about your side, they like to just, you know, tell them off and just, you know, cut it off and just escape it, you know. And because people gotta realize that you can't escape it forever. You have to find out, you know, about another person. And that's why I like that they ended it off like that. There's two sides to every story, not, you know, mine. That thing is a masterpiece.
Yeah, I think the two lines, the last two lines I want to focus on from the song is when the young black kid is rapping, you know, when he's rapping, he says, and get stopped by the cops and not know if you about to die or not. You worry about your life, so you take mine. And that line is powerful to me, because 9 times out of 10, when a police officer pulls you over, they are always in a position of power, you know, because normally they're the ones that's giving the instructions. You obey the instructions. If you don't obey the instructions, stuff can go wrong. I don't know whether or not you've seen the video of the cop that had the kid crawling on his knees, begging for his life, and he shot him anyway with, like, an assault rifle. It was on Twitter, like, a few weeks back. And the first thing I thought about,
I did not. I hadn't seen it. If it was that recent, I hadn't seen it. No.
Okay. Well, they was in, like, a hotel or an apartment building or something. And the kid comes out, and then the cops is just, like, chastising him. And then the kid puts his hands behind his head, and then the cop tells him to crawl to him on his knees. But the cop is in a position of power the whole time. His life was never in fear, and he still shot the kid. And I was like, come on, man, that wasn't even necessary. So now, and then when the one where the cop shot the young black man in front of his girlfriend and his wife, you know, he was reaching for his license or registration or whatever.
Yeah.
And they shot him. I talk about a kid that, the cop's life is never in danger. So, because you're always in a position of power. So that line is definitely resonates with me when he says, you worry about your life, so you take mine. And then the last line I want to talk about is when the white guy's rapping, and he says, where is it at? And this is one of my pet peeves, and anybody that know me, they'll tell you that this drives me crazy, is when he says, all right, let me find it. Come on, I just had it up here. Well, he was talking about pulling your pants up. I can't stand when people wear their pants off their ass. It just drives me crazy because it's, oh my goodness gracious. It shows that we have that jail mentality when we don't pull our pants up, because the sagging of the pants started off in jail when, you know, some of the inmates couldn't fit their uniforms or couldn't fit the clothes they would wear, so their pants would hang off their butt or whatever. So people brought that from jail to the streets or whatever. But what the guy says is, he says, pants hanging off your ass, you ain't got no home training. Put your fucking pants up, N-word. Put that suit back on. See, when I heard that, it was like, all right, when he said put that suit back on, is he talking about a three-piece suit, you know, a light suit? Was he talking about the jumpsuit that they wear in jail? Because, oh, my gracious, man. I don't wear my pants totally on my hips. But when your pants are hanging below your ass cheeks, it's an issue. If you can't run in your clothes, if you can't run in your pants, it's an issue. So pull your pants up, young man. I mean, black, white, Mexican, I know a lot of people think the SAG thing is cool now. It's not cool. It never was cool. It was just something that started in jail that made itself onto the streets. Pull your pants up, keep it neat.
Yeah, man, I was trying to look through and find that exact lyric. I can't find it. I remember that part, but I can't find that shit.
Yeah, he says pants hanging off your ass. You ain't got no home training. Put your fucking pants up and put that suit back on. So yeah, man, that hit home with me because I can't stand that. That's one of my pet peeves. I hate the pants below the ass thing. It looks so unbecoming and so. I don't even know the word right now. I just hate it. And I don't even like using the word hate a lot, but I hate that.
Yeah. I think it was, it kind of relates to what I was saying before. Is like, a lot of things that are in it is, like, a lot of things he used were, like, real perspectives. You know, there are people that, like, watch the video, they relate some of these things. Like, they see people this way, you know, on each side. Like, you know, and they have a lot of these views, but it's just things that would probably never get spoken about. I mean, a lot of people don't, like I said, they either don't want to like I said, they keep the wall up. They don't want to have that altercation, or they just don't want to deal with it, so they don't talk to people, or, you know what I mean? Or they have just certain things, like you said, that's one of your pet peeves. Everybody has things they don't like, you know, that other people do, and it just so happens that it could be represented in this video. So that's why I was saying, and there's, like, a lot of things in it that are, like, you know, there's some stereotypical things in it, there's some truths in it, and there's some false things in it. And it has a mix of all that. So, like, there's things that people relate to, there's just certain views which are made into stereotypes about people, you know, both ways. Some true things, you know, some false things. You know? That's what I really liked about this one, is that it has a mix of everything. And I think it's excellent. And I'm looking forward to the next thing that Jordan Lucas puts together, because if the next thing be as powerful as this, I mean, I'd heard his stuff before. I already thought he had a pretty bright future based on his other videos he comes out with. I mean, I don't listen to his music religiously, but, like, it's kind of like, you heard of Hobson?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Hobson. Like, if you ever hear, like, Hobson does those records called Ill Mind of Hobson. You ever heard of those? Ill Mind of Hobson?
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite songs by him is Beating on Something in the Kitchen. Yeah, I like that joint by Hobson. He the one with the crazy eyes, right?
Yeah, he wears, like, contacts or something. I can't imagine his eyes really look like that. Yeah, he's pretty nice. Like, he do can rap. It's just kind of like his concepts is, like, it's similar to Jordan Lucas. Like, Hobson came up in that similar way where he would drop, like, you know, almost concept videos, but it was Ill Mind of Hobson, it was called, and each one had, like, would take stabs at different things, or he would just rap. But, like, inside of those raps, like, he would also take stabs at, you know, smaller subjects, but it'd be all bunched together. Or he'd do a whole video based on one topic. And that's a similar approach to what John Lucas is doing now, but only he's taking it in a bit of a more creative way, I would say. Because he's also touching on, like, topics, you know, widespread topics, like big issues. Like, Hobson came in the game and he was talking about, you know, the state of hip-hop and, you know, what rappers say and, you know, the way they represent themselves and just, you know, rap is being whack and, like, certain, you know, he came in with topics like that versus, you know, Jordan Lucas kind of, you know, approaching the game and, you know, doing his thing on the side versus, you know, coming with issues that, you know, face the world today, which, you know, it could be relatable to just about anybody. You know, topics that should be, you know, have some more light shed on them. So, shout out to him, man. I'm excited to see what else that he'll do in the future. This video is very powerful. I think that I at least hope that it can, you know, get some kind of, you know, dialogue going with, you know, a lot more groups of people, you know, more than before it had been released that anybody was having. I know I've seen some other videos which are reacting to this song, and it was just people just going off the deep end, you know, just going crazy. And it's like, but it is good at the same time. Like, if you, like, one thing I don't know if you ever heard of Missone. Missone, he is another rapper. He's pretty nice. You know Missone?
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah, so I fuck with him. I've liked Missone for a while. I found him a couple of years ago. Actually, ironically, I was talking about Hobson. He actually did, when Hobson came out with, it was Ill Mind of Hobson 4, it was really dope. And then Missone, all of a sudden, they dropped Ill Mind of Hobson 4.5, and I watched the music video, and it was featuring Missone. And he basically ran through what Hobson said in his video. It was like the two of them sitting on, like, a stoop somewhere, like, in a regular neighborhood. Like, it was a pretty basic video. And then Hobson's going through all his raps, like, for the Ill Mind of Hobson 4, and then Missone sitting next to him, it gives it, like, a minute and a half or so of what Hobson was going through. And then Missone goes in, and he he basically, it's them sitting there talking, and he goes through the conversation, and he breaks down everything that he said. It's pretty dope. If you ever go watch it, I think you'd like it. Like, Missoni really, like, picks apart Hobson's verses, and he's like, yeah, you said this, and then he responds to each piece. But that, too, was also, like, a, you know, a healthy dialogue that they had. Like, if you would have heard it, you might have think, oh, man, like, Missoni's trying to, like, rip apart Hobson what he said and everything. Like, he's trying to go at him, like, for what he said. But at the same time, it's like, you know, they did the video together. He's trying to, you know, break the pieces apart and just have that conversation, and you know, reproduce the same message in a different way. And he also responded to this video, the "I'm Not Racist" John Lucas video, and Missoni, if you go check it, Missoni has a response to this song. The video.
Yeah, I saw it. I ain't checking out though.
Yeah, yeah. I heard it the other day. I'm gonna listen to it again because I don't remember all of what he was saying, but. It was dope because that makes me think, okay, this is why I like Missoni, because every time like something comes out and it goes viral, like this song, he capitalizes on that moment. I mean, maybe not just to, you know, for his name. I mean, of course, yeah, his name gets out there. That's good. But he gets that publicity at the same time. It's like he recognizes, okay, this is a big topic that just came out in this video. This person just did. Now let me give a response to it and further this conversation. And that's the thing that bothers me, is that people that will watch this video will stay ignorant to, like, there's a lot of people my age that will stay ignorant to the topics of this video, but then, and then they'll say, you know, it's not great, or they don't really like it, but, and then they go after, and then listening to all these, you know, druggy rappers, like, all these new druggy rappers, man, they just push the same agenda, and it's all garbage. So what I'm saying is, next time you judge this video, and then you judge Missoni responding to the video, what he's saying, ask yourself why your favorite rapper has not, and very likely will not respond to this video. Ask yourself that, and then, you know, try and figure out why, you know, and how you might be even a part of the problem. Because a lot of the issue is the music and what the topics, you know, and what is made to be cool nowadays is fucking up a lot. And people don't realize the influence that that has. And that's another thing Jordan Lucas stands for. You listen to his thing behind the lyrics. He's like, you know, I like these guys and, you know, they have their own styles and stuff, all these new rappers, you know, but I don't like what they stand for. I don't like the subjects that they're representing. You're feeding that to these kids. And they want to be like you, and you don't realize such a big influence that you have on all your listeners. And you're pushing the wrong agenda.
Yeah, because I think another thing that's lost in translation right now is society today is unlike society from 25, 30 years ago. Is young people today really don't see color like that. If they like you, they like you. If they don't, they don't. And it's not because they don't like you because of your color. It's because they don't like you because of your personality or what you stand for. And because social media has brought people together all around the world because maybe they share a certain interest together. An event brought them together, you know, let's say like the Susan G. Coleman race, you know, you met a couple people at the race and, you know, y'all shared the same passion for breast cancer awareness. So today's society is so much more, it's so different from society of yesteryear because if you look at the interracial relationships today, you look at, you know, kids growing up in, you know, diverse neighborhoods where you got white people, black people, Mexicans, Asians, you got Jews, Muslims, and all that. So today's society is more of a melting pot than yesteryear. And if we could learn, us being the people in prior generations can learn from the young folks today is start looking at people for who they are, not what color their skin is, what language they speak, what religion they worship. Look at the person and form your opinions based on the person. And if you don't know something about a certain religion or a certain race, go do your research. Don't just assume that what you hear from a certain newscast or a certain news channel and you base your opinion on that. Because I know as far as me being a black person, I cannot stand Fox News because they always portray minorities in a negative light. They never give minorities a fair shake with Fox News. You'll probably, I'm probably not the only person of color that feels that way. You probably can go poll some people of color and they'll probably lean towards my way. But what I want to say is, young people out there today, base your opinions on people based on the person, not the person's color, not the person's religion. No judgment zone until you get to know the person. That's what I want to leave you guys with tonight. As me and Keys has talked about a very uncomfortable subject, but it's a subject that needs to be broached, especially in this day and age in our country, so that we can open up a line of communication. We can talk about things and hopefully make things better as a people, not just as black people, not as just white people, but as Americans in this great country of opportunity. So everybody, thanks for listening tonight. And I got to ask my man Keys one question, because this is how we always close out. What's on your mind tonight, Keys?
So I'm going to add to what you were just saying, because whatever was on my mind, it just got thrown on top of it, was that, a big thing in society now is that people always feel like they're above everybody. And that's a big thing, is that, a lot of kids, my age, we're not really kids now, we're young adults, and they still feel like they're above society or they're above this person or that person. Stop treating people in general like you're above them. It doesn't matter. I read a quote, actually, relating back again to this video, this Jordan Lucas video, I read a quote that he had at the end of it, and it said something along the lines of, we were all people until, race divided us, religion separated us, and wealth classified us. Something along the lines of that. And I'm glad he put that quote at the very end. And that's a fact. Don't let all these other factors and, ways that, society is able to brand people, whether it be religion or, how much money you make, or if you're a middle class, or if you're, a billionaire or something, or you're born to a rich family. That doesn't mean that, the people next door that might be a poor family and they have a lot less. It doesn't mean walk out of your house, walk out of your house and don't say hi to them, or just be respectful to everybody. It really doesn't matter. You're not better than everybody else, and, it's one thing, people might have certain skills, more than another person, but that person has their own skills too. And everybody has, skills that are, respected to them, and everybody's going to shine one day in their own way. So, just my point is, don't hate on people and think you're above people because, you might have something they don't, or because you disagree with the way that, their culture is versus yours, or, you like a different thing than them. So, you don't want to be around what they like. Just all that bullshit, all that bullshit, just dead all that. Stop acting like you're above everybody else. And if everybody can just treat each other like we're all equally, which is how it's supposed to be, then, that can really help out a lot. And I'm not saying, that'll change the world, because it can't just be, one person, two people, 2,000 to change the world. It just starts with the individual. It can't even be that widespread. I can't even, try and create that huge scale. It just starts with you, and that's it. You can't put a number on respect, Everybody just respect everybody. There's no thing better than that. And that's how I close that out right there. So Lee had his final words. I had my final words. So I don't have to worry about if you had anything else to say unless you want to throw it in there at the last second. Anyways, I know I didn't say in the beginning, happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you might be, happy holidays. And, you know, be safe. Enjoy time with your family. And keep that in mind. Be respectful to everybody. And, yeah, you know, man, we appreciate everybody for listening. Like I always say, call in any time if you want to call up and speak your mind with us. The guest calling number is 917-889-3251. Again, that's 917-889-3251 if you ever want to call up. We'd love to hear from you. We are over and out. Lee and Keys, Real Talk. We'll see y'all next time. Thanks for listening.